on. Not ready. Ready. All right, guys. We're sitting out here at Wadapalooza here in Miami, which is now sunny.
Finally sunny.
When we're sitting here with Sam.
I didn't mind the rain.
You didn't mind the rain?
Who is that guy?
Who's talking right now?
Sam Dancer did not mind the rain. That's who you're listening to right now. Sam Dancer, and we've also got Jen Jones on the show.
Welcome, Jen.
Thank you.
So it's day two of Wadapalooza. We're at the Progenics tent, and we're talking with Sam and Jen, who, by happenstance, are kind of traveling as a team this weekend, correct?
Yeah, we're together. We're kind of like, I guess we're teammates to a degree. We work together at the house. We cook food together.
How did that come about?
We did an Asian theme last night. Had some pad thai, and she made a ginger salad. It was quite delicious.
Ginger salad?
Yeah, we're teammates right now. But Jenny, my wife, was teamed up with Katie Hogan and Chris Clever last year. And then Katie decided that she wanted to go individual. And I don't know exactly how JJ Swat over here got picked up, but I don't know. I'll let her tell that story real quick.
Yeah, how'd you get recruited?
So we were at the MAC event that Junk puts on, and Sam, you weren't there this past year, but Jen and I had kind of got to know each other a little bit better there. We stayed together and just kind of started talking about competitions, what we were doing, and she was like, oh, we should do a competition together, and we might have a hole for Wadapalooza, and at that point, I was still looking for a team. And so we just kind of touched base and got each other's numbers, and we're family now. So,
Asian fusion.
Do you guys live anywhere near each other or?
No.
Nowhere. So it's just by text message, whatever.
Yep, Facebook, and just text, yep.
Linked up. I love it. That's what I love about Wadapalooza. I feel like that happens. Like you hear stories like that. These teams come together and we have a chance and a place to compete, you know?
Yeah. And I was looking at it yesterday. Watching the heats and like the kind of the hype for the different, stages of the event. There's obviously a ton going on with the adaptive athletes, the teens, the masters, the individuals, and then the teams as well. But the elite teams are loaded. Like these are, it's pretty much the CrossFit Games out there, but everybody's like joined up together. And I don't know. I think that's, I guess the ECC is kind of like that next weekend, but. And this is something you don't really see anywhere else.
On that note, too, one of my favorite things about the lineup is if you're just looking afar from a distance, it's really difficult to predict or tell what type of division is going. Like you might suspect that it is an elite men's division going because it's packed. But then you get over there, and it could very well be the adaptive division, or it could be an RX team division or something like that. So it's really, really cool to see the amount of support and the amount of draw that these unsuspecting divisions are getting, the notoriety they're receiving, because they very much so deserve every much of attention or whatever you want to call it, that the elite men's or elite teams divisions are getting, or elite women's divisions are getting. So, like, just because you went to the CrossFit Games or you won the CrossFit Games, like, that doesn't make you, any greater of a human being. So it's just pretty rad that, like, if you're a human being and you're out here and you're competing, like, people are drawn to you. And
yeah. The culture of the event is very even.
Yeah.
Right?
It's very like much so.
Evenly dispersed.
Well, I feel like as affiliate owners, and at least the three of us here are affiliate owners, so we try. People want to compete all the time. I don't know if you get that. You have athletes who want to come to you, and they want to compete. They want to throw down, but they just, I'm not ready yet. But this event, you can come out no matter where you're at.
Oh, it's so the guy that we picked up as our alternate today or yesterday never competed before.
For real?
And he's competing in the men's elite team division. He's never competed before.
Who's your team right now then?
It's worth the story of who we've gone through.
Okay.
So it was originally me, Ben Gerard, and Gerald Sasser. Ben got kind of sick. Not like an actual sickness, but like he had been traveling a lot, and between like the international like CrossFit competition that he did, and just flying back and forth from USA to Australia. He was just all beat up. And then Gerald got shoulder surgery. So he's about, I think, 3 weeks out of shoulder surgery right now. He's doing pretty well, though. And then we picked up Hunter Britt, who was on my team for the 2014 CrossFit Games. And then we got Kyle Kasperbauer. Kyle calls me two or three nights ago, and he's like, I can't make it. I can't do it. And I messed my calf up. I'm like, oh, my gosh, this is nonstop, dude. And then so me and Hunter talked a little bit. We're like, we're competing no matter what. Even if it's just you and me, we're going out there. And we kept searching around. I talked to about every single person I knew and just put a bug in their ear and end up running across the Pan Chicks, and they brought some of their friends from their gym. And we have Dungeon Dan on our team. He's 32 years old, his first competition. Wadapalooza,
man.
Elite division.
I know.
He was out there with Rich Froning yesterday.
Yes.
Side by side.
In the same tents, in the same lanes as Rich Froning, his first one.
So you got a guy like that on your team, Dungeon Dan, first competition. Jen, you just got done telling me that this is your first competition of three in the next 3 weeks, all at a severely high level. How do you do that? How do you just go from one to the next like that?
Well, I think, obviously my background is individual competitions, so being able to take the off season and do more team-oriented stuff, the volume is still there, but it's not quite a severe beatdown as a lot of the individual competitions have a tendency of being. And so it ends up being a lot more fun and kind of applicable to making it like a training weekend versus my training's going to be messed up for the next week because I'm not going to be able to move come Monday. So there's this weekend, and then next weekend is going to be ECC, which is usually a really good time. The programming's very good. It's just single day events.
With plenty of snow. And
plenty of snow, yeah. And
are
then
you doing that as an individual and as a team?
The plan is to do both at ECC just because it's a good gauge to kind of see where your training has put you within the last year. I've been rehabbing some injuries and some pain as I get older, and so I'm trying to evaluate if this year is going to be like a recovery year, if that's a good idea, or so we'll kind of see what the plan ends up being for that. And then the weekend after that will be in Austin for the Fittest Games as a team also.
Austin is so fun.
That's a great spot.
You ever been there? Austin? No, just to Austin. Yeah. I've never been to the Fittest Games. The only time I went to Austin was for Austin City Limits Music Festival back in like 2008. But it was a great, great
2008,
town.
It's a good place.
Sam was like 11.
Yeah, how old were you in 2008?
I think I was just, I've been 20. I was 20 years old.
All right, so not legally drinking.
Nope.
I didn't drink until
I was 22.
Well, you would not have been having as much fun at the Austin City Limits as the rest of us in that case.
So, Jen, you mentioned injuries. Like, the injuries that you sustained, are they from, like, we just talked to Con Porter, and Con was telling us about post-games and how his body felt, and he sustained kind of, like, a lot of wear and tear on his body from the games. How'd you get your injuries?
So I've had kind of chronic back pain ever since my history in gymnastics. That's my sport. So I've had pain, and it's kind of evolved as I've gotten into CrossFit. It's gone from, like, nerve pain to actual, like, knife-like pain in my lower back. I've had the MRIs. I've had physical therapy. And so we're still kind of trying to figure out how to fix it and what the best route is to get me back to square one. So that's something that I deal with all the time. But then this past season, I had some shoulder issues that started before the games, and then lots of treatment and everything up to the games that I was able to perform all right at the games, and then it just got really bad afterwards. So I've had to really lay off upper body stuff, and luckily right now I feel pretty good, so hopefully for these strict handstand push-ups we'll be able to bang them out with no issues.
I was gonna say, that's kind of your goat, right?
Well, yeah, like with the gymnastics stuff,
I remember you telling me that you hate wall balls more than anything.
More than anything, yes.
You don't like strict handstand pushups.
Strong
like,
word.
Fit well for you.
I've never said I don't like strict handstand pushups. I lived on my hands my whole life.
A wall ball's like a handstand pushup.
No. Yeah, but that's the problem.
It doesn't make sense
squatting.
That you would like handstand pushups, but hate wall balls.
I hate wall balls.
Does it?
Wall balls and thrusters. No, thank you.
I know you can walk on your hands and do crazy stuff on your hands. I send you videos of me trying to do things on my hands.
Oh, yeah, the planche stuff.
Yeah, which you gotta laugh. But, all right, so hopefully your back holds up for it.
Shoulder.
Now, Sam, last year we talked to you here. You were hurt. You got hurt here, right?
You had a cracked patella.
I don't remember exactly when it was, but I had been like, and you guys would know, everyone here knows exactly what I'm talking about. Like, when you get hurt or injured and you know deep down something's wrong, but like, you're like, I think I'm okay. Yeah. And so that happened like a couple weeks before Wodapalooza, and I had that hunch or that gut feeling that something was really wrong. So I called my buddy Hunter Britt to be on the team and take my spot, and I'll just go individual. And tried to warm up, and it wasn't happening. So I broke my knee in like three spots and tore my patella a little bit. It's doing pretty good.
Yeah, you're all the way back. We're kind of expecting somewhat of a show from you tonight during the snatch competition. Is that going to happen?
Yeah. Like I said, I don't feel very athletic until about 3 o'clock. So
for our listeners out there, Sam just did a one big arm circle with his left arm. He's like, "Yep,
and
okay."
I think he's ready to snatch like 300 for a triple, a touch and go, right now. You have any thoughts on that workout? I'm like, Blair and I were talking about that workout, how it's going to flow, and
it's going to be really interesting. I didn't even know like how to try to even like mimic it or test it, like, because you can't do it. The individual one is radically different in my opinion than the team one,
way different. Also
so,
very cool though.
It was really cool, like kind of pairing of events and movements, and so much strategy going into it. Like, is it really, like, I was crunching a lot of numbers on it, and I was like, is it really worth like trying to hit a big lift and just hitting a lighter lift and making it super fast so you can advance onto the next portion, just because you have two differently scored events.
Right.
But the score of one of the two events, like, does matter on, like, so you're scoring the weight and you're scoring the time, all right? But if you have heavier weight, then it's going to take longer time, but you're going to get a bigger score in that category.
I think it depends on the team. So my team, all three of our guys, all maxes are 250. So, like, we don't have one guy who can go out there and do multiple reps at, like, 250 or 260 or 270 like Ben could or you could or some of the other bigger teams. So for us, it's like we got to go as fast as we can to get through it and hopefully place high on the speed portion of the workout, which is the row double under muscle-ups, and then just, you know, manage the snatches. Like, get something
so,
that's
I'm really glad you brought that up. So I think that's where, like, a lot of the stronger teams might potentially mess themselves up, because they're thinking to themselves, like, we're big and strong, we're going to be able to hit big lifts on the snatch. But really, since they're bigger, stronger guys too, they have that weight advantage too on something like the row. Like, a bigger, stronger guy is going to produce a much better result on the row.
True.
And I think they're not thinking about the other workouts so much, being the bigger guys. They're thinking about hitting big lifts. And then the lighter guys are, you know, just thinking about being as fast as possible. I don't know. It's just going to be a really, really interesting event. I'm stoked that they did that.
Jen, have you guys talked about it, your team? How are you going to strategize?
Not really.
Nope, just going in straight up.
Yeah. We're kind of relying on Sam a little bit for strategy. He kind of did that, I was told, from last year. So we'll probably have a family strategy session here within the next couple hours before we hit it.
What kind of food are we eating during this time?
More. I don't usually eat until around 9 p.m.
on a day of competition?
Like ever.
Sam Dancer, this man who weighs, 417
pounds?
220. Is ready to snatch 300 by doing one left arm circle. He doesn't eat until 9 p.m. day to day.
I drink coffee, and I don't know. Like, sometimes I'll go through like the bulletproof phases and put some like MCT oil in it or something like that. I'm not a big like supplement guy. I'm I might do like a protein shake after a workout, or I take like some amino acids every once in a while. But I usually, I don't know, I stay really, really busy throughout the day. Like I'm severely addicted to coaching. I can't stop. Like, I don't ever get to even really work out that much. It's something I'm really, really trying to work on. I mean, you were kind of talking about value a little bit earlier, but a really tough thing that I do on myself is, like, I don't place value on my own personal time. I say I do, like, my time is valuable, but I don't take the time for myself. I'm always, like, submitting it to go coach. So, like, I might be in the middle of a workout, and I'll see something, like, across the room. I'll be like, no, that needs to change right now. And I'll, like, stop working out, and then I'll get, I don't know, get to talking or something like that. So, I usually don't eat until about 9 p.m.
So Sam Dancer doesn't eat till 9 p.m.
Doesn't actually work out.
Finds time to tan and shave, and just shows up.
But he's a hell of a coach. I follow you on Instagram, dude. And the stuff you put up is really legit. I love, and I, like, people, the members at my gym know that I know you, and that, so anytime they see something you post, like, oh, did you see the thing Sam did with the bands? Like, yeah. He's got, like, 5 bands attached to his ankles and neck, and he's doing, like a reverse muscle up or something.
You
like,
get
it's
a piercing
really sick.
And, like, put a band through yeah. that, like, the ear hole, you know?
So what you do is cool, and you share that, which I think is a big part of, I know when we talked to you last year, that's a big part of kind of what your message is, what you want to use fitness for is to reach people and spread that kind of message. So it's being heard, man, even in places as far away as California.
Yeah, I think it's really, really important that that we do. We share, I don't know, like there's a, I'll probably butcher the little quote or whatever, but like basically any knowledge that you have, if you don't share that, then in essence it's kind of lost. So I've always tried to kind of live by that, and anything, and people get on me a lot. They're like, hey, you need to keep those ideas. Like you should patent that, or you should do this with that. And I'm like, I don't care, man. Like, I'd rather just let people know that it's really easy to do, and right. You can do it too. I don't have to charge anyone or patent it or make it proprietary or something like that. So I think it's really important to get as much out there as possible, because that's what's going, like, if we're all truly here to be advancing, like, humanity and health and wellness and fitness, then we need to be sharing these things and whatnot. So I think it's important.
Jen, do you agree that sharing information that you know on planching and handstand tricks would be beneficial to greater humanity, including myself?
Greater humanity for sure. I agree with Sam 100%. You know, it's really cool to kind of be in this atmosphere and have all this knowledge to, like, have people reach out and, like, ask you questions and have you be, like, kind of the expert on these subjects. And being able to kind of put your own take on things. And, I mean, with my background in gymnastics, it's amazing to see how much gymnastics stuff has crossed into the CrossFit community and how, like, oh, why didn't I think of that? Like, there's, you know, things to help people learn muscle-ups. It's a little pulley rig system with a belt.
We have one.
We use that for flipping and twisting on a trampoline or off bars in gymnastics all the time. And so somebody took that, patented it, put it into the CrossFit community, and now they're, you know, awesome ideas. Everybody wants one. So I definitely think, like, that we just, this community is very lucky in all of the knowledge and backgrounds that kind of come together to cultivate what we have here.
I feel like the community is very young too, right? So, like, that adaptation of the gymnastics harness or whatever, that's been around for a long time. But once CrossFit starts getting bigger and attracting more money and whatnot, then people will start coming in and seeing, like, oh, maybe we should bring this into CrossFit. We should start bringing those things
yeah.
over. So, that's very cool. Very, very cool. You guys checked out for a minute on us.
No.
Sorry. What were you saying, Ben?
Sam and Blair just completely left.
We got distracted talking about footwear.
Footwear.
Yeah. Sam's wearing the No Bull. No Bull Project shoes. Yeah.
What?
And I have tie-dye socks.
And I have Walmart flip-flops.
Sam is a colorful guy. You bring color back. So I respect it. You got a very neon colorful Speedo It's what you were wearing exclusively earlier today, walking through the crowd.
But I'm trying to, I want to make sure that we're all paying attention to each other.
What's important.
And not, and I don't know, like, I'm a, look up, my eyes are up here type thing. Like, I don't need you to just be looking at my meat buffet all day.
And right. Like, it's hard to podcast in that.
Dude, yeah, women are always like, they think they're the ones being exploited and being like, I don't know, looked at like that. And really, like, we get it too, man. Like, when I'm walking around out there, like, it's like, hey, I'm a real human being. Like,
not a piece of meat.
Yeah, I'm not a piece of meat. My eyes are up here. Talk to me.
So who do you think gets more, like, outlandish comments, you or Jen?
What's that?
Who do you think is getting more comments, more outlandish comments when you...
More gawkers.
Gawkers, yeah, there you go.
Jenny's flash tat is getting... It's getting my attention.
Flash tat?
Yeah, flash tat.
Right, I thought it was an actual necklace a minute
that's
ago.
That's not a necklace.
That's not.
Yeah.
That is on there.
Yeah, that's true. That's on. That's painted on there.
I hear they stay for quite some time.
A couple weeks, usually.
Okay, that's pretty cool. That's the first time I've ever seen that.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, they're... People wear them all the time now, but you probably just didn't notice. You thought it was an actual necklace.
Apparently, I'm not paying attention. I'm looking people in the eye, as I should be.
Nice job. Yeah. Nice job. So one of my coaches wears those things all the time. I'm like, why are you wearing that? She's like, I don't know. It's cute. I'm like, okay, whatever.
Cool. Jen, if I remember correctly, and we're kind of running out of time, but didn't you used to be a nurse?
I still am a nurse.
You still are a nurse?
Yes.
Fully functioning RN.
Fully functioning. I just took a job at a high school. So I'm a high school nurse Monday through Friday. I pick up shifts at the hospital on med-surg units on the weekends. And then I coach CrossFit and try to train in between that.
So would you say like you have a full-time job?
When I put everything together, I would say it's pretty full, yes.
Yeah, because you're one of the few. I remember at the games last year, it was a big deal. Like John Para is a full-time police officer, a sheriff down in Southern California.
Yeah. LAPD or something like that.
Yeah, and like they said, he's like one of the only athletes that's like a, not a coach or an
gym
athlete
owner, yeah.
Or a part-time employee. But it sounds like maybe you would fall into that category too. That's pretty impressive.
Well, it's a challenge, right? Because either you have CrossFit that's paying the bills for you and you're able to train all the time, or you have to work and sacrifice some training. And so it's like, do I want to sacrifice having that steady income so I can train more so that maybe I can make it to the games and make a lot of money, or vice versa? But so it's a balancing act.
At the level you guys are at, do you think CrossFit can pay the bills?
Honestly, in my opinion, it really depends on, like, on what you, like, where, like, what she was talking about, balance. So, like, for instance, I 100%, this sounds really arrogant and egotistical, but, like, I 100% believe I could go to the CrossFit Games and do very, very well. But I do not want to sacrifice the time from my wife or my gym or, like, traveling and coaching. Or developing my relationship with Christ. I'm a really, really young Christian and like a very immature one. So I'm trying to like dial that in. So like, I think if I sacrifice like one of those things, I could make some time to commit to training and totally go to the games. But on the, to answer that, yes, I do think CrossFit can pay the bills, but it will be, in my opinion, and it, someone could definitely prove me wrong, and someone probably is proving me wrong, but generally speaking, you're going to have a sacrifice somewhere else. And most likely, being that that's a really selfish kind of thing to, again, my opinion, to take the time to go to the games and allow CrossFit to pay your bills, it's going to leave some sort of trail of hurt and disappointment. And I've done it. I've been there before where I have put all my time and energy into training or football or just myself, and it's left a lot of disappointment and it's screwed a lot of things up, and I'm not willing to ever do that again. So, but there's some guys out there and girls too who are totally not sacrificing their marriage, their relationships, and their business and whatnot, and CrossFit's paying the bills, but. Not everyone is like that, and I think
right.
for
and situations are different, right? Circumstances
totally.
Are different.
Absolutely.
If you're a single person, maybe you don't have as much to throw out
yeah.
balance.
And I am by no means attacking or like saying that you're doing the wrong thing by saying I want to go to the CrossFit Games and you're sacrificing time with with friends or family, or I know some. I think you didn't you take away from nursing for like a year? I think that's so cool. I think that's awesome that you can say this is my goal and I'm going to make a sacrifice to achieve it. Like, that's awesome. More people need to be able to make sacrifices to have attainment of certain things, but you need to recognize that, like, is that thing that you want to sacrifice something that you really want to give up?
Right.
And sometimes people don't want to give some things up to achieve something. So I definitely admire when people do that, but I think people do need to recognize, like, you need to understand that when you sacrifice something, you are giving it up so that you can do something else. And you need to recognize what type of effect that might have.
Yeah, go in it with eyes open, know what the cost is, and that way you make a good decision.
Well, it doesn't sound like you're bashing anyone. It just sounds like you're not willing to sacrifice one of those areas.
Yeah, me personally, I'm right now where I'm at.
You'd rather sacrifice the CrossFit Games than sacrifice one of the
other
areas.
Yeah, well, you know, I think I might. I think maybe I might be one of the guys who I might make it one day, and I didn't have to, you know, take time away from having dinner with my wife, or I didn't have to miss men's group on Wednesday night, or I was still able to coach all my classes, or, like, I still think I could go to the CrossFit Games and still have balance within my life, but I'm not willing to prod around and test it out and sacrifice one of those things just to make it, so...
If you could sacrifice a long Friday night, you could fly out to the young adult study that I teach in Sacramento one day.
I would sacrifice that to do that.
You come hang out, and none of them would know who you are. They would all look you in the eye rather than in the Speedo.
A lot of eye contact.
A lot of eye contact there. It's really good. Healthy atmosphere. Well, guys, I think that's about all the time we have to hang out and catch up. But we just look forward to just hanging out together a little bit more this weekend. Such a great event.
And see you guys next year.
Yeah, we'll see you next year for sure. Before we get off the air, give our listeners the place that they can find you guys online.
For any direct or personal contact, Nobis, Nobis, that's Nob as in boy, IS, at qtowncrossfit.com. And then, like, on Instagram, at samdancing. And I try to do a good job at making sure that I'm posting, like, legit, like, content that can, I don't know, help coaches out, help athletes out. Some of it's goofy, some of it's my training, but I try to make sure that it's, I don't know, worth following, I guess.
Right.
So, yep.
And you can find me on Instagram, Facebook, Jen Jones CF. Email Jen Jones at crossfitito.com.
All right, guys. Thanks again for sitting down. It's been great catching up.